Please turn with me tonight to the book of Revelation, chapter 6 and verse 17. Revelation, chapter 6 and verse 17. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? So, really, my title tonight is drawn from that verse. Who shall stand before God? Who shall stand before the Lord? Who shall endure the heat of his anger? That's another verse of the Bible. So that's also a question. It is a very important question. My dear friends, death is real, but judgment is also real. But this is not to threaten or to frighten anyone. Actually, people are not frightened or scared by anything in this world nowadays. But there will be a day of reckoning. How do we know? Bible says that God has appointed a day. He has appointed a day. So there is a day appointed, and there is a time appointed, but there is also a person being appointed to exercise that judgment. And in Acts 17, we read that God has appointed a day where he is going to judge the living and the dead by one man. And that man, God gave the evidence, so you cannot be lost, you cannot be confuse him with other men. One man. What is the evidence? He was risen from the dead. Risen from the dead, never to die again. Never to die again. We know from history, we know from the word of God, that many people have been raised from the dead. Even Christ himself, in his earthly ministry, have risen people from the dead. But what happened later? Those people died again. But the only one, 3 days in the grave, out of the grave on the third day, and living forever, everlasting life, is the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's the judge. He's the judge. My dear friends, history, kingdoms, empires, civilizations, everything in this world, from the beginning to where we live now and where we are now until Christ comes back, everything is leading to that big day. Now, I won't go into all details in Revelation chapter 6, but just to explain that the book of Revelation, in Revelation, we find seven seals, seven bowls, but also seven trumpets. Now, don't be confused. Very simple. All these pictures, seven seals, seven bowls, seven trumpets, are given to us pictures about three parallel cycles of judgment. If you want, replace the same event, but explain to us with different pictures all the time. That's why the book of Revelation is an apocalyptic book, meaning what? It is a book to understand, not literally, but with symbols, with pictures, picture language. So that's why when you see seven, you have to understand. When you see it speaks about seals, you have to understand the picture. When it speaks about bowls, you have to understand the picture. When it speaks about 144,000, you have to understand the picture. So it's a pictural language, symbolism given to us. So the seals, the seven seals now, are going to be opened. We saw that in an earlier sermon here in chapter 5, that the book which was in the right hand of the one sitting on the throne was given. Nobody was found. Only one, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lion Lamb, the Lamb, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world, was the only one who was found to take the book, to open the book, to read the book, but also to unleash whatever is written in the book. And we said in that book was written not only about salvation, but also the judgment that is going to take place in this world when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. But now those seals, those seven seals, are going to be opened one by one to release unto us the history. So that's why I told you last time, we don't need a crystal ball. We don't need some mysterious or mystical philosophy from here and there in order to understand the plan and the program and the purpose of God for this world. It's all explained to us in the book of Revelation, in the Word of God, in the Bible. So now, one by one, the seals are going to be broken, to be released, to release for us the history of this world until the end comes. But now, as you come to the sixth seal, I will come back to each one of them in a moment, but when you come to the sixth seal, that's from verse 12 to verse 17, you find something amazing. Panic on board. There is a great panic. People are desolate. People are desperate. People are hopeless. There is nothing to cleave on. Before, they had all their security, all the gadget, all the systems of protection they could afford in this world. People are avoiding caves, but now they want to go back to caves, thinking that that will protect them. But at the opening of the sixth seal, all you see the reaction. Please look at the verses there, verse 12 to 17. You see the reaction of non-believers. The non-believers who have shaken their fist at the Lord Jesus Christ when they heard his word. Even in his own time, he did so many miracles. There are places, my dear friend, this is amazing. There are places where the Lord Jesus Christ healed everyone. But at the end they said, no, leave us alone. Leave us alone. Will you be one of those people who hear the word of God and say, this preacher, what is he talking about? But you see, judgment is real. And those people have waited until last minute when grace is over, the mercy of God is over, preaching is over, no more calling, and now they have to face the reality. Christ is the only one worthy to open the book and to break to the seals of that book. And as I said, to open it, to reveal unto us its content, but also to carry out the program of God. My dear friends, it's very important to remember that one day we shall stand before the living God. So there is no need for a special chart to understand what is happening here. Because God has given us the explication. He has given us the explanation. You know, the explanation is very simple. What is going to happen in chapter 7 is what we call the gospel age. What is the gospel age? It runs from the time Christ, let me just make it even simpler. It runs from the time Christ came into this world until his second return, his return, his second coming, his return. So from the cross of Calvary until Christ comes back again. So no need for any chart. The plan and the program of God is clearly explained to us. But something is going to happen in that return of the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friends, before I come to explain one by one the six seals here, because the seventh one is in chapter 8, God is gracious. God is generous. God is merciful. But God is also a God of anger. He is a God of wrath. Please, my dear friends, I do not want you to overlook or to misunderstand me. God is a loving God. Non-believers, they often say, if God is love, why is this happening? Why is that happening? But we forget that without justice, there is no love. So if you really like justice, if you really like righteousness, you will also understand the love of God. And if you love the word love, if you think God is love, you will understand also that He must exercise His justice. That's why God cannot just overlook our sin and say, oh, they are my little children. I have created them. They are so small. They have so many excuses. They do those things without understanding. They live in ignorance. So I will just open heaven unto them. And they all, everyone, universal salvation. That's nowhere in the Bible. That's nowhere in the Bible. God is love, but He is also a God of wrath. Why do we say that? God is angry against sin. In human terms, the only thing that makes God to be angry is sin. And that's from the beginning. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, from that time, you know, your father, your mother, your father, my father is Adam. Your mother is Eve. In Adam, we all die. But in Christ, we receive eternal life. Only in Christ. But that's why in Adam, by one man, Bible says, Romans chapter 5, verse 12, we all become sinners. But everlasting life, grace in abundance is given to us by one man, just one, the perfect man. Where Adam failed, the Lord Jesus Christ succeeded because he fully and fulfilled the commandment and the law of God in his body. He took our hell, he took our pain, so that in looking at him, like the people in the wilderness didn't have to do anything. When they sinned against God, God said to Moses, you shall make a brazen serpent, and whoever shall look at that serpent shall be saved. So in the same way, Christ also was hanged on the cross of Calvary, that whosoever looked and trust and repent from all his sins, looking by faith unto that Calvary where he was crucified, Bible says he shall receive everlasting life. Free salvation. But sin affects all of us. Sin, we are dead in sin. We are condemned by sin. But we are also enslaved by sin. All these things is what makes us to be separated from God. God has only one thing He is against. Sin. Because Bible says His eyes are too pure to look into evil. Do you want to be wise? Oh, I won't detain you long. Do you want really to be wise? The wise man prepares a place for his soul. We are not just body made. We are not just material people living for what we see, what we can touch, what we can hear, what we can smell, what we can taste. We are beyond that. We have a soul. And a wise person, or children and adults alike, men and women, each one of us, God has put in us that soul, and the whole world with its satisfaction will never make us to be satisfied, because the soul needs something else. So the wise man, the wise woman is the person who prepares himself to face the reality of the next life. Another house for your body. Another house for your soul. Now, I want to invite you tonight to look at the theme. Please allow me to call it that way. The theme, the forerunners, the advanced heralds. This is This is how God is paving the way before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is very simple, nothing complicated in Revelation chapter 7, actually in all Revelation. But you will see the advanced theme is setting, preparing the way for the coming of the King of Glory and for the Judge of the world. And there are 6 things explained to us in chapter 7, which I would like for the rest of time we have to put before you. But remember, all this is said and done in order for you to be saved, to have your sins forgiven, to have God as your Father. So then you can sleep tonight. Please forgive me to repeat this in each sermon. There is no greater joy than to leave this room or this house tonight, knowing that all your sins are forgiven. Some people live with guilt, but you don't have to live with guilt. What for? Why should you make yourself depressed and stressed because there is forgiveness available, free of charge? So the first runner or forerunner, the first herald, the first member of the team is given to us in verse 2. Look at Revelation 6, verse 2. I have really to hurry up because we have a lot to cover. And in verse 2, and I saw and behold the white horse. That's the first seal being opened, and John sees a white horse. And we know this is not new. Zechariah chapter 1, Zechariah chapter 6 from the Old Testament, Revelation chapter 19. We know who is this white horse man. And the conqueror, do you see, he has a crown, he has a bow, but no arrows. No arrows. You don't fight without arrows if you have a bow. That should explain something to us. And this white horseman, or the man on the white horse, is riding, going from conquest to conquest until the final victory is won. What is he doing? This horseman is the gospel. Is the gospel. This is the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, opening what I said earlier, we call the gospel age, between the time of his coming and his return. That's the gospel age. And he came into this world with the gospel, doing what? Saving men and women by the mercies of the gospel. So the conquest here, or the conqueror here, is the Lord Jesus Christ winning and conquering souls by what? By the tender mercies of the gospel. And this is going to be until when he comes back. Oh, may he conquer your heart tonight. Because the conquest is the conversion of men and women in a resisting and rebellious world. So by conversion we mean that God is going to break the seal. You know, without salvation, and I'm not exaggerating, hopefully, these words, without salvation, we are slaves. We are in chains. We are not able really to function as we should function. We put ourselves into the level of animals. But God has given you faculties, the faculty of the mind, the faculty of reasoning, the faculty of language, the faculty of joy, the faculty of expressing yourself, the faculty of having reasoning, arguments, and so on. So, million miles away from any animal, and you have a soul. So, the first horse is the gospel given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he comes to you, he conquers you, he breaks the seal of your heart, and he sets you free from all the slavery of sin. That's what he does. But I must go to the second horse. The second horse here in verse 3 and 4. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red. So the red horse now the red horseman. This is the horse which come to remove peace from this world. And we know, you can count how many countries even in our world today are enjoying peace. Even in our big city here, we think we are at peace. We are not really at peace. So this second horseman, his purpose is to remove, and people will die. It's something has been allowed him to be done, and people will die of decapitation. People will bloodshed. So many countries nowadays, there is a turmoil, rumors of wars, troubles, slaughtering, child abuse, promiscuity, perversity, immorality, things which I will say I'm young, but things which I have never dreamed of seeing or even thinking about are happening nowadays, and they are not surprised to anyone. Why? Because sin has taken advantage. Peaceless world. And your heart in my heart is not at peace without the Prince of Peace. So peace is being removed. And Christians all over the world will be persecuted. That's the second member of the team. The first one, the gospel. The second one, peace is removed. Now there is bloodshed. Now the third horse, verse 5, this is the black horse. And the black horse speaks about famine. It speaks about financial crisis, economic crisis. It speaks about inflation. I don't know much about all these economy matters and so on, but I'm sure we know, we read it, and we are informed about these things. Even some nations have not yet gone over the latest financial crisis this world has known a few years ago. Why is that? All these things, my dear friends, are announcing unto us that there will be a day of reckoning. So these are predictions, they are prophecies to give us warnings, to be ready to meet God. People are accumulating stuff which they wouldn't even enjoy. The latest one I heard, there was a man, he died just last week, I think, from the States in his 60s. And this man was so mean, he was having at least 4 jobs. And he was accumulating. When his shoes are torn, what he does, he finds sellotape to glue them, to put them together. When it's birthday parties or to invite and entertain his friends, instead of taking them to a proper place, he will take them to a junk food, fast food, or whatever you may call it, because he was so mean. And when he died, it was found that he left $11 million accumulating stuff that he could not enjoy. But forget about him. What about you and me? Have we neglected our souls? What shall a man give to save his soul? Or what shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? So the first man, the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ, to break the seals of your heart, to set you free. The second one, peace is being removed on this world, bloodshed. And this is why we hate one another. There is no love at all in this world. And the third one, famine, inflation, economic crisis. But the fourth one, look at it in verse 6. And there we see the sixth one. And I heard a voice in the midst of the fourth beast say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and so on. And the sixth, the fourth horseman is the pale one, and a sickly looking color. And here it speaks about death. Death is being personified. Death has no distinction, no discrimination. Babies died, seniors died. Young men, strong. Sometimes the young people think, oh, I'm still young, I'm strong enough. Only old people die. But you see, death has no discrimination. The only person who has conquered death, oh death, where is thy power, is the Lord Jesus Christ, as we said earlier. But you know what? If you have been bereaved this week, or if you have been bereaved 20 years ago, the only reason we die is to remind us that one day we shall face God's judgment. That's the only reason. Why do we die? Why death? No religion. Ask later any religion. They won't have an answer. They cannot answer to you why we die. If there was no sin in this world, Christ wouldn't have to come. If there was no sin in this world, nobody will die. You remember, that was a message we heard not long time ago from Romans chapter 6, verse 23. The wages of sin is death. So every death is a reminder. Have you lost a dear one? That should shake you and remind you that one day you shall be judged by the living God. But dear friends, there is so much we can add. You take those four horsemen, or at least the red one, the black one, and the pale one. Everything they have received it. They have given that authority. They have been allowed to do these things by God. And all these things are happening for reasons. The reason is God's jurisdiction, is God's judicial reasons that to help us to find him, to seek after him, and to find him. And since Christ died on the cross of Calvary, all these four horsemen are riding all over the world. All over the world. The gospel is being preached. There is no peace in so many places. There is a famine, inflation, economic crisis, but there is also death. But now you come to the fifth seal, and we are given the fifth seal in verses 8, 9, and 10, and so on. So you see there, and in the fifth seal, there is no horse associated with it. Why? Because here it speaks about believers, the martyrs, those who have died because of their faith. And they have been killed by people because they trusted on the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you can see, now they are asking the Lord, how long, O Lord? These martyrs are now in heaven, resting for a little season. They are also longing for justice and full deliverance. But as an answer to their question, when they said, O Lord, how long? That's in verse 9, 10, and 11. Verse 11, white robes were given unto every one of them. That's wonderful. They said, how long, Lord? You see, even those believers who are already in heaven, they are asking the judge, they are speaking to the judge, and they are saying to the judge, how long, Lord? How long? And as an answer, they receive white robes. And I'm sure you don't need a preacher to tell you, white in the Bible symbolizes victory. It symbolizes also purity. And they have been given. They are clothed with Christ's righteousness. They have been given. Salvation is a gift. It is a free gift. You cannot earn it. That's why you come empty-handed. The only thing you bring on the table is your sins. How long, O Lord? That tells you also, people who believe that the souls are asleep after death, that's a big heresy. Big lie. Souls do not sleep. If a person dies as a non-believer, his soul is tormented already. If a person dies as a believer, his soul is with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven right now until the day where there will be a reunion with his glorified body. And that is the day of judgment. And this is what we are expecting, all of us. But now, we come to the sixth seal. And when the sixth seal is opened, we see the panic, as I said earlier. People have to face the wrath of the lamb. Normally, I'm sure you know, lambs are weak. They are powerless. They are frail. Lambs are not fierce. They are not ferocious. But here you can see the non-believers now. When the sixth seal is opened, they have to face the wrath of the Lamb of God. The grace is over. The grace is over. And when you come to chapter 8, verse 1, it says there was a silence in heaven. You know what that silence means? Grace is over. Judgment is done. And it is well done. But before I close, do you see what the earthquake, the moon, the sun, the famine, things that will happen and are still happening even in our own world, the earthquake, the tsunamis, and the famine. These things are happening to remind us again that we have to face God one day. The day of God's wrath has come. Heaven and earth will be shaken before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what non-believers are saying? Hide us. Where can you hide? Where can you hide? In Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 24, Bible says, can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him? Do not I fill heaven and earth, said the Lord. No cave, no place, no underworld, no infernal world, no upward, no darkness where you can hide to the living God. You are never far from him. Later, if you have time, please read Psalm 139. Wherever you go, into the deep waters, God is there. You cannot hide to God. It's impossible. God will miss none. You see, these men are praying now. They have never prayed in their life. But now in verse 16 and 17, you can see they are saying, fall on us to the mountains and rocks and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Hide us from God the Father. Hide us from God the Son. Hide us from God the Holy Spirit. Their homes and security gadget cannot protect them anymore. As the sun gives way, every eye shall see the Son of God. They call for rocks, but here comes the rock of ages, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how foolish we are to call upon mountains to hide us while we do not call upon the one who moves mountains, while we do not call upon the one who created mountains. Mother Nature, help us. No, Mother Nature won't help you. It's too late. There are groups. Look at the groups. Everyone is here. Verse 15. And the kings of the earth and the great men. Seven groups are listed there. You know what it means? The whole world. The entire population. Everyone who has ever lived on this earth. The judgment will be universal. Living and the dead. Everyone will appear before God on that day. No matter the great, the small, the powerful, the servant, the bondman, everyone will appear before the living God. It overtakes all, great and small. Divine judgment will be indiscriminate, not depending on status and rank. What you should really be dread of is not death, because it is appointed unto men to die once. But what you should really fear tonight is to face the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, without the forgiveness of sins. That's what should really threaten you and make you to cry to the Lord to help you. I wish I have more time to explain these things. But in verse 15 and 16, you can see against the seven calamities, you also have seven groups of people. Everyone, the whole universe will come before the judgment. And in Romans chapter 8, we read that even nature is groaning, seeking for its own deliverance. Are the trees more intelligent than you and me? Are the birds more intelligent than you and me? Even nature is seeking for God's judgment and deliverance. So this is what we should be seeking after. The day of the Lord is nearer than you think. To some, it will be a day of delight. But to others, it will be a dreadful day. A mountain falling on a person ends your physical life. But the Son of God falling on a person, it leads to eternal loss, eternal death, everlasting death. Oh, flee to the Lamb, repent from all your sins, trust in Him, and you will find refuge and salvation forever. Who shall stand before God? The only person who shall stand before God is the person who have trusted the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. As I close, in which company will you be? Which horse are you riding? Or which horse is on your side? Is it the white one? Is it the red one? Is it the black one? Is it the pale one, the sickly looking one? Death and hell accompany. But as you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, He gives you everlasting life. Come to Him. The Lord is a refuge for every person who trusts in Him. You come to Christ, you find refuge, you find forgiveness of sins, and you find everlasting life. Oh, may He help you to come to Him tonight. May He conquer your heart. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. We thank Thee for its simplicity. We thank Thee for its reality. We thank Thee for its power. And we pray that these words will not fall in a deaf ear, but Thou will help each one of us to heed to these things, so that when we stand before Thee, Lord, we will be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to seek Thee, but also to find Thee, as we pray these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Amen. Let's close.